Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
So illegal immigrants are gathering in New York because they don't want to stay in shelters. They only want to stay in hotels. They're gathering, they're protesting. What kind of thing is this? Yeah, look, I'm not the one who told you to come to the United States. But you don't get, you know, turn down service. That's not the way it works. Not at all. Now, usually when we're talking about New York, it's about, okay, what level of insane protesters were here? Where were the radicals, the anti-American types? And of course, they're everywhere. But this is... This is a new one. Upset that because you're not getting your mint on your pillow. That is a statement. Now I only hope that while they're out there protesting, they get stung like a hornet like I did just about 5 minutes ago. Tony Katz today. You guys know I do the show from home. I have a home studio. I'm building a new studio for video and everything else. And so I do the show from home, and gorgeous day. And we have, you know, a little bit of a break. Just want to go get some fresh air. Well, true story. I come back inside. I'm talking to my wife. And I feel something, and I say, ow. And then I feel something crawling in my left pant leg, to which I then grab it, and you hear it crunch. I don't know what it is. My pants are on. My pants are on. I don't know what it is. There are workmen outside. There are windows. And my wife is screaming, do you want me to take your pants off? Which is not something that isn't normal in this house. That happens all the time. And I said I would. My problem is when I do the show, because it's a matter of natural course, I carry a firearm. So with my left hand, I'm holding on to whatever this thing is that went crunch that is starting to cause me pain. I can't take off the pants because I have my firearm on, and if it falls, I don't want any problems. So I have to stop her from trying to take off my pants so I can take out my firearm properly so I can then get my pants off and then see this hornet, which I assume is a hornet. It was black, as big, bigger than your big toe. Well, bigger than a fat guy's big toe, just laying there. My leg right now, like, I sound fine. I don't think I'm allergic. Like, so far, everything's good, but somebody get your EpiPen ready. Holy crap. That hurts. Oh. And here I am in the house that I pay property taxes on. And yet, here they are, just all making demands. It is the making demands part that gets everybody crazy. If people came into the country, even illegally, and all they said is, please let me work, a lot of people be like, let them work. It's the demands. Where's my housing and where's my health care and where's this and why are you treating me well and how come you haven't given me this and how come there's not more of that? And wait a second, these bed sheets aren't 400 thread counts. What do you expect me to do? Sleep on this? I might as well go sleep in a barn. It's that hubris, that viciousness. Let me say, illegal immigrants, you are crappy guests. You're crappy guests. And if you weren't crappy guests, more people would be like, stay another day. It's cool by us. in the end, we wouldn't care. I shouldn't say all of us. I think a great majority of us would not care at all. It would be like fine. It'd be totally fine. But when you say, how come you're not putting us up in the finest hotels? Well, that's a big thing. That's a big thing. That's a story in and of itself. Just one of the things going on in New York. Here is another. Trump cannot get a jury. You've got the case against Trump, this nonsense hush money case, where he paid off Stormy Daniels to not say anything about some relationship. And Stormy Daniels has a statement out that she never had a relationship, but she owes him legal fees. Like, there's a whole thing there. But a check got written. Except the check got written from account A, and it should have been written from account B. And so that's a misdemeanor. By every stretch of the imagination, that's a misdemeanor. And somehow, Alvin Bragg, the district attorney, said, you know what? You give me a Ouija board in 10 minutes, I'll make that a felony. And everyone said, well, you got the 10 minutes, but where are we going to get a Ouija board? And Alvin Bragg said, you figure it out. And sure enough, somebody knew somebody who had a friend who had a Ouija board they weren't using, and they brought it over, and he set it up, and boom, bop, bip, felony. It's a felony to write that check from the improper account. And these people said, my goodness, that is just dark magic. Because it is. And so now you've got a felony against Donald Trump for paying somebody hush money, which happens all the time. All the time. It isn't rude. It isn't disrespectful. It isn't some kind of misogyny or whatever it is some fool on a newscast wants to say to hopefully get invited back. I'm not saying you have to like it. I'm not saying you do like it. I'm not saying that it makes you so sick that you're not going to vote for Trump again, which is a very acceptable reaction if you choose to have it. What am I supposed to tell you? You can't have that reaction? I can disagree with you about it. But you could say to me, you know what? That morally is more than I can handle. I'm not voting for him. You can do that. Charge him? This is not a felony. It's anything but. This is what happens when you lose your head. So he's there, and they're gonna, bring the case. Except they had 96 jurors yesterday, and 50 of them said, yeah, I can't be impartial. And 47 of them asked for an autograph. 50 of them said, I can't be impartial. I'm sorry. Sorry. Is that Don? How you doing, Don? What's up, man? What's up, Mr. President? What up, Mr. P? Good to see you. Good, yeah, nice. Hey, Melania. Nicely done. And did you see he's got some aide who works on his communications team? She's a Melania kind of lookalike. Have you seen this woman? I think it was the New York Post that did the story. It could have been the Daily Mail. It was crazy. And she actually walked into the courtroom with Trump, and people said, I think Fox News said, and there's Melania, but it wasn't Melania. Margot Martin is her name, Deputy Director of Communications for Save America. That's who she is. Absolutely stunning woman. And when she wears the sunglasses, looks like Melania. So far, this is the one great thing I've learned from the case, from this trial thus far. So far, this is the only good news. They cannot find a jury. Can't find it. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what the plan is. Does this mean they have to change venues? I don't know. But it doesn't matter whether you like Trump or not. The man is entitled to a jury of his peers. And if you can't find it in New York, I guess you're going to find it elsewhere. I guess you better work on that right quick. So that trial's going on. Me, it's not as big in terms of the sting as I thought it would be. Did I not get stung and did I get bit? But does a hornet bite? And was it a hornet? It was black. Not yellow, right? It didn't look like a traditional wasp. But it did get up my pant leg. And thankfully, the knee is as far as it got. I'm Tony Katz. It was not a carpenter bee. I have people on X taking pictures of bees. It was definitely not a carpenter bee that stung me. It was crazy. But someone called producer Jason and said it might have been a cicada killer. And I said, that's it. I'm going home. And then I realized I was home, so I'm going to keep doing the show. Tony Katz today. I stepped out during the break because I work from home, and I got stung. I think I got stung. What I thought was a hornet walked up to my pant leg, flew into my pant leg. I caught it at the knee, and I'm grabbing it through the pants. I feel it hurt for a little bit there, but I put some, a Benadryl cream on it? It's on my left knee, like to the right side of my left knee, like to the interior. And I put this on it, so it's not as painful. And I don't feel anything, right? If I was allergic, I would assume by now I'd be slurring and Jason would have called an ambulance. Or what'd you say? Well, foaming at the mouth is depending on who you ask. It depends on their take on the show. But I would have a reaction by now. And someone called Jason and said, you didn't get stung by a hornet. And I'm like, can you be bit by a hornet? Because I would figure if I got stung, it would hurt more. But for a few minutes, they're like, that was ridiculous. And they said, no, you might have gotten stung or bit by a cicada killer. I'm like, well, what the hell is a cicada killer? I've been alive a good long time. I know what a cicada is. I have no idea what a cicada killer is. A cicada killer is known also as the cicada hawk, the Species speciosus. That is the official name. A solitary digger wasp species. And they're sometimes referred to as sand hornets, although they are not actually hornets. They're found in the Midwest U.S., and they hunt cicadas and provision their nests with cicadas. I'm looking at the picture of it. I don't remember this much yellow on it, but I'm willing to bet that whoever said this to producer Jason is absolutely right, and this is what stung me. That said, I'm setting my house on fire. I cannot have this thing around. The cicada. Have you seen a picture of the cicada killer wasp? What do they call it again? The cicada hawk? How is cicada hawk not a superhero in the Marvel films? The wings are transparent, but the actual Oh, it's got big eyes. Oh, it has the big eyes, producer Jason. Oh, it's gross. Oh, it's gross. And Oh, it was crawling there. Lord only knows what else it touched. It might have touched duty. I don't even know. Oh, my God, I'm going to need to, I hope I don't need to amputate. And so it's black. It's got these little yellow spots on it, you know, in symmetry. And the eyes are like orange and black. And it's, oh, God. This is the stuff nightmares are made of. Yeah, I think this was it. I think I have no idea. Like, so did it sting me or did it bite me? That's the, no. They have stings and it's used to paralyze their prey. That's what they do. That's the females. That's the females. The males just hit you with a hammer. Oh, producer Jason, I've already gone through the what happened if it had made it higher. By the way, they are equipped to bite. They have the ability to bite. Males will jab with a sharp spine on the tip of their abdomen. Females will sting. Both are equipped to bite as they have large jaws, but they do not appear to grasp human skin and bite. Well, allow me to prove you wrong, Wikipedia. That's just what happened here. That was nutty. Meanwhile, I take you to California, where they are now saying, why in the world is it only the fast food people getting $20 an hour? How come we all can't get $20 an hour? What's the holdup? What's the hubbub, bub? They passed legislation and say the fast food workers should get $20 an hour because they hate business owners. And now labor groups are saying, well, shouldn't everybody get paid $20 an hour? And you know as well as I do, it is just the start. The hatred of business so great, they'll decide that it's a fair wage for everybody and everybody gets $20 an hour. And then when everybody gets $20 an hour, on cue, they'll say, you know, it really should be $35 an hour. And then it should be $82 an hour. Well, what about the skills? How dare you think these people need skills? They need a living wage. Why won't you support them? As a matter of fact, you have to support them. Oh, this goes back to, I did events back in the day, speaking events with Herman Cain, the late Herman Cain, presidential candidate, Godfather's Pizza. And there were people protesting who believed that Herman Cain's job was to provide them jobs. That's his job. Provide us jobs. Well, why can't you provide your own job? That's not my job. What's your job? My job is to get paid. Doing what? Well, that doesn't matter. So you should get paid for doing anything? I should get paid for doing nothing. But sometimes it means I have to do something. So who's supposed to provide that something to you? Herman Cain and Godfather's Pizza and all you creators out there. And now California, these elected officials who never create anything, they feel magnanimous by taking your money and giving it to somebody else. And now people say, well, if that group can get it, this group should get it because it's only fair. It's only fair that if the fast food workers get it, well, then this other group of people gets it as well. And it's only fair that we keep raising the number and raising the number and tell business owners that they should stop being so greedy with their profits. As a matter of fact, why should they be allowed profits? It should only be shared. You understand this is exactly where it goes. Understanding exactly where things go is the story out of Kansas, where the governor, Laura Kelly, has vetoed a ban on gender-affirming care. Gender-affirming care, of course, is child abuse. It's all it's ever been, and it's all it will ever be. Gender-affirming care is telling children they can mutilate themselves because they're not really a boy, they're a girl, which is not true. They're always a girl, they're always a boy. They're always a man, or they're always a woman. And it was brought forth to the governor, and she vetoed it. If you allow children to determine their own medical care and you allow children to be, you know, make these decisions outside of their parents, you're leading children down a road where they are abused daily. That's what you're doing. The NBA playoff picture is taking shape, which is weird because right now with Caitlin Clark going to the Indiana Fever, no one seems to care about the NBA. I'm kidding. Let's not get over our heads, people. Tony Katz today. Good to be with you. JMV joins me right now. He is the voice of sports, JMV 1070 on X, if you follow him there. You've got the matchups, the Eastern and the Western, Boston with the one seed, Oklahoma City with the one seed. Talk to me about what you see in these matchups and whether or not we're going to see at least something worthwhile in these first rounds.
No, we are, I think, and really the one I think that everybody should probably focus on, and obviously where I am, that's the one we're going to focus on. And I'm talking about, Tony, in terms of a matchup and then some off-the-court soap opera and melodrama going on, is the Bucks and the Pacers in round number one. I don't think there's any series that has, you know, the compelling storylines both on the floor and off the floor. You start with Giannis, who looks to be doubtful in game number one with a calf injury. You look back to calf injuries of the past. Kevin Durant had one, and you know it made things worse for him, if you remember, when he was in Golden State. So we'll see if Giannis is ready to go in that game one coming up on Sunday. But the other part about it is these teams played five times over the course of the regular season but haven't played one another in 3 months. The Pacers won four of those. And there was a lot of drama in those games, a lot of off-the-court stuff. Remember the whole, you know, Giannis running to the Pacers locker room to get the game ball, and Aaron Nesmith kind of tackling and a hard foul, and Giannis and the bench running out there, including his brother. Been things said. I remember Tyrese Halliburton knocked down a timely three and then did the Damian Lillard, it's Dame time kind of thing. Halliburton is from the state of Wisconsin. There is just a lot of compelling storylines, unlike any other first-round series. But when you get out west, you look at the play-in, and who's going to come out of the play-in tournament, which begins later on tonight, is going to be fascinating because you're talking about a who's who, like the Lakers and, you know, Golden State, for example, a who's who of teams, which should be as compelling as I mentioned in the East with the Bucks and the Pacers. I think it's going to be competition-wise equally compelling on the floor out west, even before we get to round number one, Tony.
Yeah, you talk about that play-in game. You got the Lakers against New Orleans going on, the 8th seed versus the 7th seed. The drama that you talk about between the Pacers and the Bucks is also compelling because the Pacers lead the Bucks in that series 4-1, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Although they did have very, very similar records, you look at the Bucks, you look at Giannis, and you say, this is a stronger team, but they haven't really shown themselves as a stronger team, even though they're a 3-seed with a 49-33 record.
No, they haven't. And there are a couple of different times this year. 4 wins, Tony. The Pacers beat the Bucks, and after the game, Giannis said, hey, one of the reasons why we struggle so much against this team is because of their pace, the way they get up and down the floor, how they play offense. They're young, and they run, they move it up quick. And for an older team like the Bucks, they were simply put, at the end of a couple of games, Tony, they were worn out. They were gassed, and Giannis actually mentioned that. So when you get to the postseason in the NBA, regular season, you're up and down the floor, and it's all about offense, but normally it's the team that can ratchet it down defensively that is one of the better teams in the NBA postseason. So that's what Milwaukee hopes to do, but at the same time, if you're the Pacers, you want to hopefully maintain or at least don't lose sight of what got you here, and that is your pace of play, getting up and down the floor. And you'll notice, just like you do in the NCAA tournament, Tony, there are a lot more of lengthy stoppage in play. We're advantage of the older team and probably to a disadvantage of the Pacers, Tony, that want to maintain that rapid pace. So it is going to be the tale of the way that two teams want to play that clearly have an issue with one another. But if the Pacers are able to play at that normal pace, that's going to be problematic as it has been for the Bucks. But equally, if the Pacers aren't, that's going to be tough on them with a team that we'll see if Giannis is going to be healthy or not, but a team that is veteran, a team that is good, and a team a year ago, Tony, remember, they got bounced out in round number one by Miami. So a team that also was a little bit motivated even at an older age.
Talking to JMV, the voice of sports, JMV 1070 on X. Follow him there. In the Western Conference, Oklahoma City is that top seed. And you take a look at some of the other matchups, Minnesota and Phoenix, where Phoenix has dominated Minnesota 3-0. You've got the Clippers and you've got the Mavericks, where the Clippers lead that series 2-1. You're Oklahoma City, waiting to see who you play. Who would you rather match up against?
Well, Oklahoma City, I mean, not a lot of people probably know exactly what's going on in Oklahoma City, but it certainly is a talented group, and no doubt about that. And they played at a high level consistently throughout the season. But, Tony, I'll give you a team out west that you still have to watch, and that is the defending champion Denver Nuggets, because you got the Joker, you got Jamal Murray, you got Porter, you got Aaron Gordon, you got a similar cast of very good players that have just been so high-level steady. Coming off that championship season of a year ago, they have maintained. And, you know, again, they're not the one seed by any stretch, but they're not far off. And what they have done is just kind of viewed this as steady as she goes. A great opportunity, even with that high level of matchup competition you're talking about in the Western Conference, still, I think, very capable of doing what they did a year ago, because they have a defining player on their roster in Jokic, and they have a couple of bits and pieces that are high level, and guys like Murray and Gordon and Porter Jr. So I would expect Denver to be back. To me, they're the most intriguing team as we start the Western Conference playoff picture. And so we'll see how it unfolds.
So let's take a look around at these matchups. Give me your choices. In the West, Phoenix or Minnesota?
I'm going to go with Minnesota defensively, too. I don't think Phoenix is going to have enough offense to deal with Minnesota, who has consistently been the best defensive team in the NBA throughout the season.
Clippers or the Mavericks?
I'm going to go with the Mavericks, because Kawhi Leonard, in this case, has kind of an unknown injury situation where he's always seemingly injured. So, yeah, give me Luka and Kyrie Irving and the Mavericks in round number one, Tony.
The New Orleans Pelicans or the Los Angeles Lakers?
I think the Lakers end up squeezing this out. I mean, it's few and far between where they were a year ago and where they are right now, but I think the Lakers are going to have enough. But just another injury to watch is that of Anthony Davis, because he's seemingly always injured, so that's something we'll keep an eye on. But I think the Lakers move forward.
And Sacramento or Golden State, which is weird to see Golden State in that 10 position.
It is really weird. That's a great matchup, by the way, too. Sacramento's just not as good as they were a year ago, but I think they're going to have enough across the board here to do what they didn't do last year, and that is maintain against Golden State.
We take a look at the Eastern Conference, the Bucks versus the Pacers.
I'm going to go with the Pacers. I think the storyline is twofold here. It's the dominance the Pacers had in the regular season, but it's also the question mark with or without Giannis coming up here, too. And with that calf injury, man, I mentioned Kevin Durant. He just never got right. So they may be looking at long-term and how they end up playing him clockwise. But I think the Pacers are going to have too much if Giannis is not healthy.
Cleveland Cavaliers, the Orlando Magic.
Give me the Cavaliers. There's some been there, done that there. With the Orlando Magic, there isn't. A very youthful, very talented team. Give me the Cavaliers moving on.
The 76ers out of Philadelphia or the Miami Heat?
Oh, watch this, too. The Heat are so tough this time of year. I mean, Jimmy Butler this time of year. But go ahead and give me the Sixers. The Sixers are going to be a pain moving forward, because remember, a lot of the second half of the season was played without Joel Embiid when he was injured. He is back now, so give me the Sixers.
And then Chicago matching up against the Atlanta Hawks.
I would say the Bulls, because we watched the Hawks the other afternoon on Sunday, and they're like an absolute mess.
Yeah.
So go ahead and give me the Bulls.
Now let me bring it over to the WNBA, only because Caitlin Clark, the draft last night, coming to the Indiana Fever, my beloved, your beloved Indianapolis, the ticket prices have gone up like you wouldn't believe, and people really are putting on her, hey, you have to go save a whole league. The WNBA does not exist without the NBA. Without the constant money, it cannot exist as a league. Is Caitlin Clark big enough on her own to generate enough interest to get people more interested in the league, even if she's not on the court?
I think she is, but you're going to have to win. You're going to have to show it, too. She's going to have to be more than just a phenomenon here, right? A pop culture basketball phenomenon. She's going to have to be able to sustain to do that. And make no mistake, Tony, the way that the spotlight and what she has brought with, you know, not just nationally, but globally, the interest you see in the game of basketball and the women's game of basketball right now, she has certainly done that. But it's going to have to be more Taylor Swift sustainability and not just some kind of quick pop culture phenomenon and you're moving on. So that's kind of how I look at it right here. This is all great for the Fever. It's great for the WNBA, and you cannot deny that. And she has a chance to make her mark unlike anybody else. But at some point, she's going to be called upon to win games and high level, consistently be successful. That's how she is going to be judged. Right now, it's just a shining bright light on the WNBA and women's basketball, which is good from the old all the way down to the young. But at some point, the deal is going to be how successful, how good, how productive, and how much winning is done, and that's how she'll be judged.
Right. Winning is everything. I wholeheartedly agree that the winning has to happen. But for the WNBA, they need more than just one. And they need some of these other names. Like, they were big names, like Lisa Leslie in the past, but it never really got people aggressively into women's basketball, although I guess one could argue they could show a bump from the Lisa Leslie days and the Cheryl Swoops, et cetera. You need to make stars out of other players. And if I'm going to WWE this thing, do I now take a look at Angel Reese, who's going to be with the Chicago Sky, and say, okay, you're the heel? Are they going to play that game, or are they going to let the fans actually decide whose fan base is going to elevate this game higher?
Well, we saw this, and I'm not trying to equally compare the two, but we saw this back in the late 70s. It was Larry Bird, it was Magic Johnson. And an NBA that was floundering was lifted up by this rivalry. And then obviously we saw where it was taken and where it is today. So, yes, if they were able to, again, organically see a rivalry built, really Caitlin Clark and anybody, but I know a lot of people would make it with Angel Reese considering, you know, the circumstances with LSU and Iowa in the past. If they really could benefit. I think always in anything competitive, Tony, you have to have a heel. But you have to have a talented heel. I think it has to equal out a little bit. There's no doubt that women's basketball could benefit greatly from that. But the person that's playing the heel, much like the favorite here, you have to be good. It has to be a legit rivalry. It can't just be made up in our minds because we already have the greatest of all time with Bird and Magic.
JMV, he is the voice of sports in Indiana. I appreciate you taking the time. More to get to. I'm Tony Katz. This is Tony Katz Today. So we discussed the blockades that took place yesterday. O'Hare Airport, Golden Gate Bridge, they were in Tampa. A host of places where these pro-Hamas, murder-desiring radicals, they scream free, free Palestine, and they scream from the river to the sea, which is, of course, a call to genocide. And they think that they're righteous by blocking traffic. They think that they're righteous and decent and valuable. They're going to tell you how they feel. And in this latest example, they just walk into a Starbucks wearing keffiyehs and waving a Palestinian flag, and they're screaming at people who just want to have a scone. So they're in the Starbucks screaming, "Starbucks, Starbucks, you can't hide, not till we free Palestine." And people are sitting there just pretending it's not happening. Tony Katz. Tony Katz Today. 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. You can't pretend that it's not happening. These people are despicable, and they have to be pushed back against. This was Senator Tom Cotton on Fox.
Well, I'm feel very deeply for all those people who are trying to get to work or trying to pick up a kid. Very worried about the diversion of police resources when it needs to be stopping crime in cities like San Francisco, where firefighters are having to go there when they might have calls for fires out. I have to say, Sandra, I agree with you that you have to get to these criminals early. If something like this happened in Arkansas on a bridge there, let's just say I think there'd be a lot of very wet criminals that have been tossed overboard, not by law enforcement, but by the people whose road they're blocking. If they glued their hands to a car or the pavement, well, probably pretty painful to have their skin ripped off. But I think that's the way we'd handle it in Arkansas. And I would encourage most people anywhere that get stuck behind criminals like this who are trying to block traffic to take matters in their own hands.
One must respond to this abuse of the social contract, and one has to respond with force. We've only been saying it now for a couple of weeks. I mean, we brought it up before, but I brought it up as a theory. And now all of a sudden, here's everybody having this conversation. One of the people speaking out, John Fetterman. Yes, stroke John Fetterman, who put out on X, I don't know who needs to hear this. He shared the video of these Jew-hating, murder-wanting bigots in Starbucks chanting. He writes, I don't know who needs to hear this, but blocking a bridge or berating folks at Starbucks isn't righteous. It just makes you a blank hole. Demand Hamas to send every hostage back home and surrender. That, of course, is the answer. I like a reckoning. And these people who abuse the social contract, believe they can stop traffic and there's nothing you could do to them because then that's violence. No, no, no. They're engaged in the violence. The people who show up at the Starbucks and scream at you, they're engaged in the violence, and you need to push back on them. You need to take the words of Maxine Waters to heart. You gotta form a crowd and push back on them and tell them they're not welcome anymore. They are not allowed to violate the social contract and just get away with it. There will be a response. And then, only then, can things get better when these people realize they cannot get away with this abuse. And more people are mentioning it. We may have been first, but gladly we ain't going to be the last. I'm Tony Katz, and this is Tony Katz Today.